All right, let's go. Woo, start. Rolling start. Rolling start. Rolling start. All right, that's enough of that. Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for April 23rd, 2012. This is Mike Minotti. I'm joined by my brother, Ash Guy. Hello.
Yo.
What's up?
Nothing.
Cool. How's it going? How's the news?
Newsy?
You actually, you've said that so many times.
I know.
It's never funny.
I don't know what else to say.
Say it's interesting.
Okay. It's fascinating.
So you sound like you don't mean it. Is it not? Is it boring?
Actually, there's some interesting things.
Now you're trying to, like, be sincere, and I don't know if I buy it, but we'll see.
You put me in an impossible situation now.
Well, you put yourself in an impossible situation.
Apparently.
I take no responsibility for this. So we'll do AJ's bad news segment, and then we're going to do another PTI ripoff game, make the grade, I'll call it. It's report card. We can just call it report card if you want.
No, I like make the grade.
Make the grade, yeah. So, you know, we'll give grades to things. So.
Hey, listen. Anyone doing a podcast right now owes everything to PTI because they basically invented the format that every podcast uses.
Mm-hmm. So we do that. Then talk about Awakened Gaming. We'll talk about Tribes Ascend. You had some Witcher 2 playtime. Then we'll do the releases, and that'll be the show. So here we go.
All right. So I thought this was funny. Did you see how Super Monday Night Combat was accidentally released?
Yeah, that's weird. How do you do that?
Well, apparently what happened was they sent out like a big round of invites, and the invites got screwed up, and people were getting upset, and they couldn't figure out what was wrong. They basically said, ah, fuck it, we'll do it live.
Bill O'Reilly style.
Exactly, and so they just kind of launched the
game.
So
it's a game now.
It is a game now. Free to play first person shooters abound this week.
Did I ever talk about how much I hated it? I guess I never did because it was a closed beta.
Yeah, it was closed at the time we played it.
Because
I played it too.
But I played it and I hated it. I couldn't figure it out. I might have just been bad at it.
I think that's part of it. I'm not saying you're bad. Well, the thing is, compared to the first Monday Night Combat, it's like slower pace, but it isn't. Like, they're trying to get more to the pace of a true Dota game.
But I feel like it's
still a shooter with, like, headshots and...
See, that's my thing. It's like, either be that and, like, have it be more about a strategy and less of a twitchy gunplay thing, or make it a twitchy gunplay thing. I'm not sure what it wanted to be. Now, that I played this game months ago now, so I don't know. Maybe it's fine.
Yeah, maybe
now.
It's changed due to tweaks and things. I need to try to get it myself.
I thought, like, maybe it was my class, too, because, like, I kept using my abilities and they all seemed to do shit. So, I don't know. Maybe the balancing was just off. Whatever. I can't really see myself going through it right now, especially because I'm kind of playing Tribes now.
Right. It won't cost you anything.
What's with these games, like, accidentally being released on Steam? I guess that wasn't really Steam, huh? But you see Sonic, I guess Sonic 4, like, Episode 2, a very early build of it was accidentally available.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up, too.
For a little bit. People, like, just playing
Whoops.
It. It sounds like, fine. It's kind of broken.
The good thing is people seem to like it.
I hope so. I hope it's just not at, like...
Well, the thing that had everyone worried that seems to have been fixed is when you jump, it doesn't kill all momentum. That's
right.
Helpful.
Right, that's right.
That was a really big problem in Episode 1.
Episode 1 was weird. Episode 1 should have been a lot better than it was.
Yeah.
All right, what's next?
We also got a leak from Amazon of God of War Ascension.
Right.
Followed by an official announcement and teaser trailer.
I never actually watched the teaser trailer, because the last time I saw God of War teaser trailer, it was the worst thing ever.
This one's not much better.
It's like, it's always just that, it's Gaia doing narration.
Yep.
And then it's like a close-up on Kratos, and he talks about, how, he like says like something about blood and vengeance.
Yep. That's exactly what's in this trailer. Are you sure you didn't watch it?
I never saw it. It's what they always are! Like, the God of War, that's what, like, but before he was a god, before he was the ghost of Sparta, he was the
like,
god.
Like, you're, like, quoting the trailer.
It's not hard to figure out what they were going to do.
They literally say, before he was the God of War, before he was the ghost
of Sparta. Did they really say that?
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. That's pretty sad on their part. I swear to God, I have not seen this.
Oh my goodness, that's the best thing ever.
Also, wow. Another freaking prequel.
All the trailer is like, he's like, it's all like artsy, like brush stroke style with like blood splats everywhere. And it shows Kratos being chained up and tormented by like, what's the three-headed dog that guards
Cerberus?
Yeah.
You should know that. Cerberus.
Yeah, I know. I've just got my mind. And then like, I don't know. I guess this is how he gets his chain blades because his chains are stuck on him now.
Who cares? Why do we need to see that? This is a prequel that does not need to be made.
Well,
this story, I'm pretty sure it's just the one that was told in one flashback in God of War 1, and it worked fine that way.
Well, that, and what can you do in this game that's going to be bigger and better and more badass than 3? Did you kill all the gods? You killed Titans?
Well, that's why it has to be a prequel.
But then what can you do that's going to be better?
I don't know. They got away with it almost once with Chain of Olympus. That took place before 1, and he was still kind
of
killing gods.
No, no, no. Chain of Olympus was between 1 and 2, I thought.
No, that's Ghost of Sparta. Between 1 and 2.
Which one came out first?
Chain of Olympus.
That was before, wasn't it?
Remember, the only god you kill in that one is Hades. No, not Hades. Was it Hades' wife or
I forget.
You kill some chick.
I played it when it first came out, and I liked it.
Yeah, no, I actually liked it a lot.
That's actually my favorite God of War game.
But that's not the issue here. The issue is just that, I don't know what you're going to do in this game. You're going to fight people, I guess. It's basically like, oh, God, we need to make another Greek God of War game. Because they don't want to try something different. They don't want to take it to a new mythology. I don't know. Either, or they don't want to just let it die, let it be. Like, who wants this? I know there's some people, but come on.
I'm sure there's some dude bro out there who's like, oh, dude, fucking sweet. Another God of War, fucking Kratos. He's such a badass.
It's just sad because I remember how refreshing the original God of War was. Because it was kind of seen as a sort of old school return. It was like, oh, look at this. Just straight up action. It has a cool combo system. And now it's so tired. Mm-hmm. It's being overdone. And the fact that you have to go You're doing your third prequel. It's like, God, guys, let's just move on with our lives.
You think they'll bring some kind of like new gameplay innovation to this? Like,
what can they do? Unless they like
co-op element,
maybe an RTS element. I mean, that's what he is. He's just in an army now, right? There's maybe something to do with all the armies because I don't know.
Yeah, are you commanding troops of some way?
I'm sure he'll just be playing a God of War game. You know, I don't know. I don't know who you could fight. This is gonna be dumb. Who's left? They got almost everybody. Like, 2 and 3 alone, they, like made sure they touched every single important person in Greek mythology. Like, you can go to the B team that no one's going to know, I guess.
Yeah, get really obscure with it.
But, God, who's... They kind of... Yeah, the series kind of lost me. It's like, as soon as they're like, oh, Kratos is a demigod, actually. He was actually Zeus's son. I'm like, yeah, it's lame. It's not cool anymore. It was cool when it was just God of War 1. You were just amazing and awesome. In the end of the game, you killed a god, not every 2 minutes. But also, there's only copies next.
Well, you want to talk about another franchise that's getting tired?
It was a Call of Duty.
How'd you know?
I said a hand thing.
Are you a demigod, Mike? Do you have clairvoyance?
I think somebody misused the term demigod. I can't remember what now, but it really annoyed me. I think it was like somebody who actually was just a god. They didn't know what demigod meant. No, demigod's half god. You fool, you fool. What was it?
I have no idea.
This is fascinating radio, I know, but it's bothering me now.
Anyway, Call of Duty. They have a countdown. A poster was supposedly leaked for, shocker, Black Ops 2.
Although some people say it might be called Eclipse. I don't know. But whatever, it'll be the...
Do you think the momentum's filing on a downswing for this series?
It's gotta have to start. It'll be kind of like... Like, it'll still do very, very well, see, but I don't think they can keep breaking records. People just can't care that much anymore, can they?
Well...
Can they?
I had two of my friends in town this weekend, and they both wanted to play Call of Duty. The only one I have is Modern Warfare 2. So we throw it in, and quite frankly, I couldn't tell you which one I was playing. Like, if you would have just put it in and handed me a controller, aside from, like, time period, like, it felt like any other of the Call of Duties that have come out since... Modern Warfare.
I believe that was 3 installments ago. Can you believe that they've been making a new Call of Duty every November since 2006?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
There's a lot of them.
And I mean, it kind of peaked with... I mean, it didn't peak with Modern Warfare, but that's like when it went to super popular crazy mode.
Yeah.
Like,
and that's when it broke through to the mainstream.
It kind of got annoying. It's kind of on its way down.
But you know what's interesting?
What?
After we kind of finished up our multiplayer, me and my one friend went to go do something, and my buddy Jim wanted to just kind of keep shooting stuff. So he just, like, loaded my last save from the single player, which was the end.
And it's like, you know, the super climactic ending where the guy throws the knife in your heart and you, like, yank it out, throw it into his eye.
Right.
And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, he's, like, playing the climax of the game. Let's see what he thinks. He turned it off before it was done. He's like, I just want to shoot guys. No one gives a shit. That was amazing to me. No one cares. I mean, it's out of context, sure, but still.
I never even played 3, which is weird.
It only takes 5 hours. Yeah. You may as well bust through it.
I mean, I'm sure it's fun enough.
It is. It's a fun little roller coaster. That's the thing, though. I'm describing what's like supposed to be the biggest gaming franchise blockbuster around as a fun little roller coaster ride.
Yeah, it's all right.
It's a good way to kill a weekend.
What's next?
Okay, now let's go to something that's fresh and in trouble. Prey 2. Not canceled.
Which is good, but...
Ooh, Bethesda kind of lay the smackdown on Human Head here. Here's their quote. Well, they said it's not canceled, but it has been delayed beyond its 2012 release date. And here's what they have to say. The delay is due to the fact that game development has not progressed satisfactorily this past year, and the game does not currently meet our quality standards. Ouch.
That's so... I don't get it.
Well, it gets a little more complicated when you take into account this alleged report that was given to Shaq News that Human Head stopped development in November because they were not happy with the terms of their contract, basically.
See, I mean, I don't want to be cynical, but I saw this game. I find it much easier to believe that there's some sort of contract dispute than that the game wasn't looking good, because I saw the game. It looked good.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. That's what leads me to believe this whole,
like, maybe
they stopped working on it in November and there's been a pissing match ever since.
I can almost
kind of
see this weird
since.
Scenario where after E3, when everyone's freaking out, but they're like, hey, maybe we should get more money for making this than we are.
Right.
Since it's going to be...
Now
I'm worried about the development of it, though.
Well, like, a lot of people are saying now it's probably going to end up switching developers. Because even Human Head was on their Facebook talking about, hey, wouldn't it be great if we did a, what was the game they made before? A sequel to one of their older games.
No, make Prey 2.
Well, it sounds like they may not be.
But their Prey 2 looks so good. This is going to turn into one of those very sad things.
Well, I mean, development will shift, not reboot, but shift. It's probably going to lose something, some of that spark to it.
I'm just saying, this is going to be like one of those things we're going to be like, man, what if that original version of Prey 2 was released, and it was as awesome as... I wish you could have been there to see it. That game looked... It looked hella smooth, man. It looked like butter. Maybe it'll be okay. I mean, games have had troubled development cycles before and have been okay.
Mm-hmm. Of course, sometimes you get Duke Nukem.
Duke Nukem was...
I mean, the original Prey was a troubled development. I guess they're just, you know, they had to do something to tie it into the first game.
Yeah, honestly. All right, they're going to be like, oh, we're going to just make Prey 2 actually more like Prey 1 now.
No, that is not what we want.
Nope.
No, thank you.
This isn't going to end well. This is going to end with tears. What's next?
Nintendo had one of their Nintendo Direct doodads.
They announced New Super Mario Bros. 2.
Yes.
Which is weird, because you have New Super Mario Bros. Wii, which is kind of New Super Mario Bros. 2.
Yeah, but wasn't, I guess. Well, I mean, this is single-player focused.
It's basically, you know, it's their 2D. I wonder if it's going to be easy or hard, because just New Super Mario Bros. For the DS was incredibly easy, while New Super Mario Bros. Wii was pretty hard.
Yeah.
I will say that, like, doesn't it kind of feel like... I guess that's not a downgrade. I'm sounding kind of like a 3D elitist, but I mean, we had Super Mario 3D Land, which was like, oh, that's sweet. We have a 3D Mario game on a portable system. Now it's like, yeah, we did a 2D one game. I don't know. I guess it's kind of this would be a good let's go topical, but we're not doing that. Like, do you
well,
like?
Well, you could do it right now. That's why.
I'm just saying.
Okay,
I'm leaving, but I'm just saying, do you like 2D or 3D Mario's better?
Well, I mean, that's kind of the question. I mean, obviously, the market has shown preference to the 2D games.
Right. And not by, like, I mean, the 3D ones
do fine.
They're a little
easier to wrap your head around, I guess, especially for younger kids.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And it's the nostalgia, too. I mean, looking at the screenshots for this, because they have, like, the raccoon tail back. Not the suit, but just the tail with the ears, and it actually makes you fly now.
Yeah.
I mean, this is basically Super Mario 3 2 in 3D.
Yeah, no. Well, that's actually kind of interesting, because the first new Super Mario Bros. Seemed more like Mario 1. New Super Mario Bros. Wii seemed kind of like Mario World in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really buy the nostalgia thing anymore. This is the third time they've done this now.
Yeah, I know.
Not that many years. I mean, How nostalgic can I be? I feel like it's never left in a way. You know? I mean, miss it.
Me personally, I prefer the 3D games. Me too. Galaxy is one of the greatest platformers ever made.
Yeah, Mario
3D
Galaxy
Land 2 was great. Like,
yeah, Mario Galaxy 2 is the best Mario game, I have to say.
It's weird. I still like the first Galaxy a little better.
I don't know why.
I think it's mostly for, oddly enough, plot reasons. It had a little more magic to it,
Maybe.
I kind of see that. Yeah.
But the platforming,
the gameplay, you're right.
Mario Galaxy 2 is probably the best level design I've seen in a game, especially for a platformer.
Right.
But, I mean, I feel like something easy about doing another 2D Mario game. But, I mean, I don't know. Because I kind of when I'm not playing New Super Mario Bros. Wii, I don't like it as much as when I actually am. Like, when I'm playing, I'm like, oh, this is great. This is fun. This is very clever. But then, like, when I'm not, I kind of get cynical about it. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. But there it is. Because didn't we think that... We assume that Wii U Mario game is going to be a 2D Mario game, right?
That's what they showed as a tech demo. So that's what I played.
But we know they're going to. She said they're going to announce a Mario game. Do we still think that's going to be 2D? Because I feel like this makes it a little bit more. We said before we did Odds Makers. We said like 90% or something that it was going to be a 2D game. I kind of feel like the odds are shifting on that a little bit.
Now that you have one coming out for the three, you're saying like they can't do back to back like that.
Yeah, that'll be like 6 months apart. I mean, I guess maybe you could, but not really. I mean, they wouldn't do the new portable version of Mario Kart and the console in the same year. So, I don't know.
Let's look at the past now. They haven't had a Nintendo console launch with a proper Mario game in two console generations.
I feel like...
And it's a hell of a lot easier, I'm assuming, to make these 2D ones than the 3D ones.
Well, if you're just going to make Super Mario Galaxy 3, how hard would that be? You have the assets for them. You got to make them HD now, but
yeah.
It can't be that difficult. I tell you what, I feel like Super Mario Galaxy 3, I think that might be happening. I'd be fine with that. Oh, I'd be ecstatic in HD and everything? Ooh.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be fun? Wouldn't it be nice? I think, like I said before, I thought 2D, but if they're doing this, I don't know. Next.
Valve has been, well, more specifically, Gabe Newell, has been very cheeky this week. He was on a podcast where he was talking about Ricochet 2, wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
It's Half-Life 3 he's talking about.
Yeah, and here
it's actually a reference to a funny video where it's like Gabe Newell's coming out of E3, he's going to make a big announcement. He's like, we're going to announce Ricochet 2, ha ha ha.
But yeah, he basically said the reason they have not talked about Ricochet 2.
You say Half-Life 3.
Yeah. No, I'm going to stick with Ricochet 2. I'm one of the people who like Ricochet.
I
didn't realize the world hated Ricochet.
No one hates Ricochet. They resent Ricochet. It's different.
Okay.
Just say Half-Life 3.
Okay, Half-Life 3. The reason they haven't said anything is because I guess they blame their tumultuous design process where they keep changing their mind too much. Basically kind of what happened with Team Fortress 2.
Yeah.
Where they announced it too soon and it changed so much, and I guess they want to wait till they've really got it locked down before they say anything.
I mean, I appreciate that, and that makes a lot of sense, actually.
Yeah. Now, he's also claimed that they're going to be announcing something with the number 3 in it at E3.
Oh, really?
Now, let's keep in mind, not only could it be Half-Life 3, but technically, it could be Portal 3, it could be Left 4 Dead 3, it could be Team Fortress 3.
I'm worried.
They have a lot of 2s out there.
I'm really worried it's Left 4 Dead 3, to be honest. And I feel like people will be mad, because you've seen that joke all the time, where, like, don't do Left 4 Dead 3 before you do Half-Life 3. I've said, like, yeah, I want them to announce Half-Life 3, but is it really a fair thing? Is it really a good idea to do if they're just not ready? I don't know, but there's pressure on them now. You see, people have like the friend little protests outside their office. It must be a lot of pressure on them to make Half-Life 3 good.
They kind of put it on themselves too. I mean, let's not feel too bad for them after the whole episodic thing
was a debacle.
That did not help.
Yeah.
I mean, even if like their ambitions got too big, do you think they should have said like, "Well, okay, listen, this is all great. Let's set it aside. Let's make this all part of Half-Life 3. Let's get Episode 3 out there." Finish this part of the story.
Well, the episode 3 boat has sailed.
Well, yeah, I'm saying this should have been done years ago.
Yeah, but that didn't happen. See, here's their problem. Once they announce Half-Life 3, it'll be the most anticipated game.
Of all time.
Yeah. Like for me, I will, yeah, it'll be my most anticipated game of anything else coming out.
Like, go out, buy a new video card. Set aside some hard drive space that you literally will, like, tell the computer, don't put anything here if you can, please. Hide your kids, like, hide your wives.
I can't even imagine. I remember how excited I was when Half-Life 2 was announced. I was flipping my shit.
And that was before Half-Life was like, I mean, Half-Life 1 was like, oh, that was pretty sweet. Let's see what they do again.
Well, I remember,
now it's like,
That was a big deal, though, because Half-Life 2 was one of those, it was one of those games where you saw, like, the video of it, and you're like, this is a leap forward, and everyone knew.
Honestly, Half-Life 2 might be the first, like, next-gen game before the Xbox and PlayStation and everything.
I agree with that.
Like, things they were doing with facial animation and physics. I mean, games still struggle with that today.
Half-Life 2 is the father of the modern video game, as we know.
I think,
for sure.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. I like that.
It absolutely is. And,
I like that.
It's 8 years old, you know.
I know. And it still is a fantastic game to this day.
It's still probably the best single-player campaign for a straight-up first-person shooter. Do you think we'll see Half-Life 3 before or after the 10th anniversary of Half-Life 2?
That's a good question. I hope before.
I thought it'd be, like, right around it. All right. What's next?
Oh, yeah. So, last thing. They've announced a Batman Arkham City Game of the Year edition, which includes all the DLC. And with it, the Harley Quinn's Revenge DLC, which had been heavily rumored, will be releasing April 30th next week.
So it's like semi-sequel-ish.
Yeah, like an epilogue.
That's fun.
And it's cool. From the description, you play as Batman and Robin in the story DLC.
You know, I don't know why, but I had some reason I assumed you would play as Harley Quinn.
No.
I guess not. Now that you say that makes sense.
The Robin rumor had been out there for a while. In fact, some people even thought it would be a just Robin thing.
It was weird how he kind of just showed up in the main story of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm here as... If you bought the game at Best Buy, you could play as me.
Right.
Goodbye now.
Well, it was a way to kind of tease him in the challenge rooms, I think. But now it's cool that you're going to play basically similar, I'm guessing, the way Catwoman worked in the single player.
Well, but Robin basically just plays like Batman, right?
More or less. He's got a little bit more up his sleeve as far as, like,
he can't glide, though, can he?
No, but he's got some more acrobatics.
Okay. That's anything else?
That's it.
All right. Let's get some grades going.
Okay.
Well, here, let's stay on this. You see the box art for Batman Arkham City? Because I want you to grade this.
The Game of the Year edition?
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
All right, I'm going to start loading this up just so you can see it.
Okay.
For your benefit. This is pretty, it's funny, though, because it's basically up there with some of the worst box art ever. Here we go.
Oh, good God.
So basically, they took, like, the one picture of Batman... Like, the black and white picture, he's got blood on his, like, hand.
He's, like, wiping blood from his lip.
And they crammed as much shit in there as they possibly can. Least of which is the game's logo, which is incredibly small.
It's the smallest thing on there.
The largest thing by far is the giant 10 out of 10 from Game Informer. You have these giant 5 out of 5s everywhere. It is a graphic designer's nightmare.
It looks like a bad magazine cover.
Yes, it is ugly.
Oh, like, that's terrible.
They're like, quick, get perfect scores up on there. It is not, like, you know, when I want, if I'm going to get a Game of the Year edition, I want the box art to be classy.
Yeah, that's the word I was going to use, classy.
This like, looks
I
like
mean,
a
you
carnival
look at, like,
billboard.
Like Oblivion's Game of the Year edition had a fantastic, very muted cover to it. It looked nice.
Uncharted, they have, like, just, like, an alternate kind of cover usually. It's fine.
I mean, even, like, at least put a reversible cover in there, something. My God.
This is ugly.
That is terrible.
I know you guys can't see this.
Go Google it.
Then
prepare to have your eyes hurt.
Yeah, because
that's bad.
It is, like, up there with
some. And
then,
like, the logo's, like, kind of behind everything and faded out, but it looks dumb and you can't read it.
It's a bad.
Oh, my God.
What is this Game of the Year from Metacritic? Is Metacritic allowed to say what the Game of the Year is? That just means the highest rated game.
I guess so.
I mean,
ugh.
Yeah, so it's bad. So what's your grade?
Oh, God, it's an F.
Yeah, it's got to be an F. That's bad.
That is fail.
That is the worst.
That is fail.
This is the worst box art since some.
Oh, my God, you're right. If you're a graphic designer, I mean, this is making me cringe.
Yeah.
Someone got paid a lot of money to do that. A lot of money.
All right. So Max Payne 3's install size.
It's 35 freaking gigabytes.
Now,
which I guess is the size of a Blu-ray, but... Wow.
It's pretty big. It's a little much. Our good friend Evan Killam, who I like to call Even, actually wrote a story on GamesBeat where I write comparing it to some other games.
Uh-huh.
World of Warcraft is 25 gigabytes. World of Warcraft.
Yeah, okay. What else we got?
Diablo 3 will be 12 gigabytes.
Okay.
It's like Skyrim.
Mm-hmm.
Arguably the biggest game of, like, last year, right?
Yeah.
6 gigabytes. So, like, I mean, I don't understand why they need 35 gigabytes for max. It's probably like,
I'm guessing
it's going to be like a 6 hour or 8 hour long campaign.
Well, I'm hoping this means the PC version has very high res textures, a lot of you. Yeah. I mean, it's funny because remember like back in the PlayStation days, like if your game was on like 6 CDs, that was amazing. Like, oh, this game has to be so good.
Yeah, it used to be
cool. It's on 6 CDs.
If you were on a lot of CDs, like, well, that's awesome.
Yeah. Right. Awesome. Like bigger was always better. But now the thing is, we're in the age of not only the digital distribution, but also of the internet cap.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of home ISPs now have a cap of 250 gigabytes. 35 is a significant portion of that.
It kind of makes you want the console version, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going
Well,
for
plus
that.
The specs are high for this game.
Yeah, not so much. Max Payne 3, not so much. All right.
I mean, the game's is supposedly be pretty good.
Yeah. What's your grade for its install size?
I mean, a C, I guess. I mean, I feel like they could have done something to compress that down a bit.
That's awfully high.
Even if it is high-res textures, make that, like, an optional download like Skyrim did, something. I mean, my goodness.
Okay, so, Brink.
Mm. Brink.
Brink, yes, I'm talking about Brink.
Okay.
Well, listen to this. Brink.
I'll hear you out.
Big bomb, right?
Yeah, disappointment.
Should have been good. Didn't do well, right? Would it surprise you if I told you it sold 2.5 million copies?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how much
it
sold worldwide.
So a lot of people might have bought into the hype of it, or they bought it really cheap at some point, because it went on sale pretty quickly.
Still, it made some money. There was the gross number, too, in the story. Obviously, I don't have that now. I just wrote this down. But it made money.
Okay.
Considering that this game was a critical failure and assumed to be a financial failure, how do you grade these sales numbers?
I mean,
can I just say I want to give it a B for Brink?
I was gonna say, like, I guess, yeah, B. I mean, good for them, I guess.
I mean, yeah, like,
the problem
that's making a pretty good amount of money from a pretty poorly received game.
No, the game made these great promises that it failed to deliver. Not through anyone's fault. They didn't think it through all the way. Like, they made a very big deal about how with the dynamic like objective system. If there's, like, a door that needed hacked open and there was no one on your team who was a hacker, you'd get an objective. Be like, hey, switch your class to a hacker and we'll give you some XP. But at the same time, all of your progress was specific to one class. So the built-in leveling system encouraged you to play one class.
You don't need to explain to me too much about what
was wrong
with
Brink. That's, like, one example of, like, just, like, how they were, like, it was pulling in two different directions.
But still, not too bad for them, I guess. You think we'll ever see a multiplayer focused shooter like Brink actually costs money to play?
That's the thing.
I think they're all going to be free to play
now. Yeah, if you take Brink as a free to play, if they do a Brink 2 and it's free to play, that's okay.
Yeah.
But after I've played Tribes Ascend this weekend, and we'll talk about that more later, I cannot see myself ever again paying full price for an online only shooter.
Yeah.
It's done.
It's kind of.
Yeah, it's done.
We'll get to that in a little bit, but so they were talking about Counter-Strike Go, Global Offensive.
Yeah.
Apparently the mod tools or the map creation tools are going to come out a few months after the game is released. It doesn't have a release date, but how would you rate your anticipation for Counter-Strike Go?
Like a B minus.
I'd say like a C. It's very, I don't mean that in the average, but it's just, I feel like they're not going all out enough for this. I feel like this should be Counter-Strike 2. Instead, it seems like we already did Counter-Strike like 0.5.
Well, they did, yeah, Source, yeah.
So it's like Counter-Strike 0.5.
Yeah, like
just do it, you know?
Yeah, I worry that it's going to feel like just another graphical upgrade to Counter-Strike and not like the jump from TFC to TF2.
Like, I don't know how much you can do to make Counter-Strike different. But,
well, I mean, there's some streamlining you can do. There's some.
See, but the community would resent that. But I mean, they did it with Team Fortress Classic. It was like, I wish they could do it like they did with Team Fortress 2, where you had Team Fortress 2, and if you like Team Fortress Classic, that's fine. Play Team Fortress Classic.
And that's still the case with Counter-Strike.
Yeah, people still just play original over Source, right?
Right.
People will play Source.
A lot of people still play 1.6.
So it's like, you know, I have a soft spot in my heart for Counter-Strike. I still remember when that was the king of online gaming. If you're going to play a game, you played Counter-Strike.
Right.
It'll be kind of weird to go back to it, honestly. This is going to be a free game, right? You think? I don't know. I think.
I mean, Valve has proven the free-to-play model for TF2. They're making money hand over fist with it.
And they're going to do that for Dota 2. We know that's going to be free-to-play.
Yeah, so I feel like they could very easily monetize, you know, skins and some perks and things like that, but still keep, like, you know, the crux of Counter-Strike is buying your equipment mid-game. You can't change that, or else it's not Counter-Strike.
You can't actually monetize that. That's
no.
Even though it seems obvious, and it's like, oh, that's how you can do it. No. Don't do that.
Even if maybe you could buy, like, packs where you, like, for, like, a round you get a gold boost, like, maybe you could do that. I don't know. But, yeah, you can't change that. That is Counter-Strike. That's what makes it different from any other shooter.
Right. All right, yeah, so it's like, it'd be nice, but I still wish this was, like, crazy Counter-Strike 2, but it's not. It's not Team Fortress 2 from Team Fortress Classic. Okay, it's kind of a nice little transition to our weekend gaming, but Grade Tribes Ascend.
Oh my god, it's an A right now, because I'm fucking loving with it. That was a nice... I was going to say I'm in love with it, but I was going to say I'm loving it, and words.
Oh my god, that's weird.
That's
okay.
How much I like it. I can't even form sentences when I think about
it.
Yeah,
all right. Yes, it's great, isn't it? And I'll tell you what, I wasn't expecting to like it that much, because...
I mean,
we play Tribes... I think it was more Penny Arcade's influence than anything, because they couldn't shut up about it back in the day when they were, like, a new comic.
And Tribes 2 was great.
Well,
I mean, it was a very pretty game, because...
I remember playing Tribes 1, too.
But the essence of Tribes, I mean, the big outdoor maps, are kind of... It's easier to pull off good graphics in that area, I guess.
Well,
so it always looked really good.
Well, we always played more Team Fortress Classic and Counter-Strike back then, though.
Yeah.
That's what we were playing instead of Tribes, to be honest. But I'm actually having a lot of fun with it. And I'm a lot better at it now. I never really... was able to ski before, which is like the crux of the game.
I didn't know you didn't know that.
I was like 12.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't ski. I'm great. I'm a pretty sweet skier now, man.
Yeah.
But,
well,
it's a very pure capture the flag experience.
And that's what I was going to say. It seems like there really isn't anything popular that's capture the flag.
Even
TF2 has moved away from capture the flag as its primary game. I mean, it's there, but I mean, they haven't released a new capture the flag map for that game.
I think they have maybe one or two, but yeah, it's really a lot of payload anymore, which is fine. I like payload, but it's different.
But now, I mean, the fact that this is free.
It is interesting. They haven't paid anything for
it. Oh, my goodness.
And it handles it very well. It's like it's like the Dota model, I like to say, where you can buy things, but you also gain experience. And I don't know Dota. I should say LOL.
Yeah, well, even like that, I mean... there are skins in LoL that are money only, and I just
There's always cosmetic things that are money only.
I haven't seen any of those, but I don't think they've really released skins yet for this game. But
crazy,
yeah. I mean, everything is money or experience to buy it.
And you'll be a better character once you play more and can spend these upgrades. But you're not outclassed immediately.
No, because the game's still really based in skill.
Well, it's a very fast paced game.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, I've always talked about how much I like cool locomotion in games. And this game has that in spades. I mean, the whole mechanic of the skiing and jetpacking,
yeah.
It's so fun. They do this brilliant thing. When you grab the enemy flag, it starts playing this really intense music.
Yeah.
And it really gets you going.
It's just a well-designed kind of game, too, because without necessarily having to, like, do a lot of team talking or team play, like you're automatically working with your team a lot.
Yeah, well, it's very easy to, like, the classes are very geared towards one specific role.
Right, so
there's, like, it's not like if you're in the giant heavy armor, you know you're not supposed to go capture the flag.
Now, one thing, have you really seen vehicles play a factor in any of the games you play?
Not as much as they used to seem. There's not as many vehicles. There used to be, like, big team transports and things like
right.
that. Because one of the strategies you'd really use in old-school Tribes, and you still do it in this one, is there are heavy weapon classes with a mortar launcher who you would want to position outside the enemy base to either take out their turrets or soften their defenses by the flag. And what you used to do is load them up in a transport, fly them out, drop them off. But they don't have, like, the transport in this one.
Right.
So you don't really see as much use out of them.
I tried using the flying one a little bit. It doesn't seem to have a whole lot of firepower, and it dies pretty easily.
Yeah.
The take is slow. I don't know. It seems like you're better off just skiing. But it is fun.
Oh, I know. Well, earlier this evening, I was playing it, and I was running as a flag capper. I already had two caps down. Our team had four, so one more, we win. Grab the flag. I'm going across this map. I could hear in my surround sound headphones, like, five guys are behind me, all shooting at me. I see their shots coming.
Very intense.
I realize I'm making distance between them, but there's a vehicle behind me. It's shooting at me. I have like 100 health. Someone blew it up because I saw like its debris come flying out in front of me. And I'm making my way to that flag. The music's playing, and I made that cap. And I think this is the most vocal reaction I've ever had to a video game. I mean, I jumped out of my chair, pumped my fist, started shouting. I have not gotten that excited in a multiplayer shooter in a really long time.
It is intense. It's exciting stuff.
And it's free.
It's free.
It's free. Like,
do you think you'll spend any actual money on it?
I actually might. That's the thing. Because I like it so much.
You kind of just want to. Not necessarily that you need to.
Well, and the nice thing is when you do buy something, you become a VIP, so you get a 50% boost to your experience gains.
That's nice.
And, yeah, just, like, unlock some classes quicker. I mean, it's worth it.
Do you think you actually really want to play any of these other game modes besides Capture the Flag?
No, but that's okay.
Me neither. It's great, though. Like, I agree. I got to go with an A right now.
I could never now see myself paying $50 for an online-only shooter.
Yeah, like, Quake 3 and Unreal Tournament, it's like, oh, $60.
Yeah, never. No. Never again. I mean, between this and, like, if I don't want to play this, I'll go play Super Mario Day Combat or Team Fortress 2. They're all free to play.
It's crazy.
It's nuts.
It's different.
Now, here's the thing. I mean, people talk about, oh, when's free to play going? Free to play's here, but it's only on PC. It's going to be coming to PS3 with Dust514, but Xbox doesn't have a system for it. Do you think this console generation will really see free to play, or do you think that the next console generation will be built with that more in mind?
It'll happen more than the next one.
I think they'll
do it because there's money to be made with it.
Well, that's the way everything's going.
Well, things are going that way because they're making money off of it.
Yeah.
It's just a lot more profitable. Do you want to tell me about Witcher 2?
Yes.
Don't be too crazy here.
I haven't played a ton yet.
Are you done with Xenoblade? Is that already done?
No, it's not done. Now I got two massive RPGs I need to play. Witcher is weird because after playing the first game, which used like a point-and-click system, a very timing-based combat mechanic there, this one is designed for a controller. Like, and I heard this even with the PC version. You play it with a controller.
Okay.
And it's weird because in your head, you're thinking, oh, this is like Assassin's Creed combat. And you immediately get your ass kicked. This game is hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard. I mean, like, the fact that alone that your health doesn't regenerate is a big part of that. But once you kind of start getting the hang of combat, you find that tempo, which is very specific. But once you get it, you know, it becomes manageable. It's still really challenging. All the fights mean something, and save all the time for, you know, whatever you do. Keep saving. The world that they've crafted in this game is really good. It's kind of that difference between, like, Skyrim, which is, like, a really great canvas, and this game is, like, a really great painting where you're just looking at all the great detail there, you know?
Is it really, like, open world, or is it more linear?
It's linear. I mean, I'm in, like, a town right now. I can't go back to anywhere I've been or anything like that. And what I love is I could see it happening, like, where there's all these choices that happen, and there is nothing that's like Paragon or Renegade or good or bad.
That's your
friend. It's just choices that all have their own outcome that are, you know, there's nothing devious or evil or kind or anything about them. It's just, you know, let's do this or let's do this. And you could see how they're going to have ramifications later on, be they minor or big. Apparently, Chapter 2 in this game, depending on a choice you make in Chapter 1, there's basically two chapter twos in the game.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
So,
does it bother you that you haven't played Witcher 1 through?
Do you feel like they do a pretty good job of explaining what happened at the end of it.
Still, though, you feel like you're missing out? You feel like you wish you could have?
I mean, a little, but it's not the end of the world for me.
I just watched you play for a little bit. It was a very pretty game, graphically.
And I guess people have said it's comparable to the PC game on Medium, which really makes me wonder if this game looks like on a really good computer. Honestly. But it's great. I think it's awesome how I got this game. CD Projekt Red basically wanted to give 1,000 copies away to amateur reviewers who had blogs
and
you're things.
Reviewing right now. I guess I should be like, don't talk about it too long then.
Well, I'll talk more about it after I've really sunk my teeth into it. But, you know, they decided the podcast was a good enough vehicle, so thank you to them.
I hope your party recommendation was worth their sending you a free game.
Yes.
Although maybe you're corrupted. Maybe that's the only reason you like it. Maybe we've sold out.
That's why I'm giving full disclosure.
Sold out.
Yes. Hey, I've always said I can't wait to sell out. Yeah, that's when you get shit.
That's gonna be great when we sell out.
Oh, the best.
All right.
Trials Evolution.
Oh, I forgot. I mean, You suck at it. I know that.
Hey, shut up, you.
You get so mad.
I know.
It gets great because you play that game and it shows you the progress of all your friendsless people. I sit there and watch all of them beat you and smile and like make very snide comments like, oh, they're doing much better than you.
Well, here's the thing. As you're playing the beginning of the game, you're still unlocking the higher speed motorcycles.
Oh, that's what it is.
Shut up. So don't worry about beating your friends so you get all the good bikes, is my advice.
It's a very pretty motorcycle physics game.
It is.
I actually liked Trials HD a lot. I got to that point, though, where it did almost drive me insane because I think I retried a level 1,000 times.
Yeah, and apparently this game gets there, too. But right. What's nice, there's different environments than just, like, the warehouse.
Right, which is cool.
And they're all really nice looking. I mean, this game's gorgeous. The thing I like, too, about the asynchronous multiplayer, it's just like these floating orbs for your opponents. So you can't see exactly how they maneuver the course.
So you can't really learn by watching.
Right, which is good, I think. It forces you to figure, like, oh, how the hell they get over that so fast? Right. And you have to keep trying it. And that's the thing. Much like Super Meat Boy, this game reloads fast.
Yeah, that's very important.
And that's important to this game, or else it wouldn't work. But yeah, I mean, it's apparently the highest grossing XBLA release ever.
Oh, for like a day.
For 24 hours, yeah. Good for them. It's a great game.
I beat Uncharted Golden Abyss.
How was that?
It was good. It seemed like it was... It's weird because the last quarter of it both seemed like it was dragging its feet and that it ended unexpectedly.
Huh.
If that makes any sense. Just because there was kind of like... There was one character who I kind of thought was going to come back and he didn't. So when I did the final boss fight, I didn't realize I was doing the final boss fight. That's kind of all. I mean, it was fine. It's just like, I was like, oh, I beat it. Oh. I think it was funny because, like, I literally was playing it, and I was like, I'm so hungry. I got to eat something at some point here, but I want to beat this first. And I'm like, finally, I like, do something. I kill some guy. I'm like, okay, I'm going to pause the game. Cutscene's playing, and I'll come back. And I come back, and it's the ending cutscene. I'm like, oh, okay.
Whoops. Well, who knew?
But no, I obviously still liked it a lot. Like I said, same thing before where it's very much the bread and butter version of Uncharted where all you're doing is shooting people and doing the platforming, and you still have, like, the characters talking to each other and being funny, but you don't have... like, the crazy set pieces. There's no part where you're in a ship that's, like, sinking.
Yeah.
Like, there's a point where you're in a building that's on fire, and all it does is just, like, show the difference between a building being on fire in Golden Abyss and a building being on fire in Uncharted 3.
Yeah, and that happens like, pretty early in the game, too. Yeah, I mean, I did that part.
Yeah. They'll say they do the thing with the final bosses where all it is, it's, like, it's basically a quick time event except only with finger swipes. Not a highlight. Not great.
You don't say.
Funny how Uncharted, they always have this thing with final bosses. They always just are weird in some way or another. I still think the best one was 1, which
I
everyone
agree.
Hated.
3 was good.
3 was fine. 2 was okay, too, actually. Well, 2 was the one that was the most traditional boss fight.
Right, that's why I didn't like it.
Yeah, it was okay.
The same reason I didn't like Bioshock's final boss.
Right. I started I just, like, watched the opening video of Persona 3 Portable. Which I downloaded on there, and I was mad because, like, they did a different video for this one. It kind of, like, plays off the fact that you can choose a boy or a girl. But it's not Burn My Dread as the song.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Which is... don't roll your eyes at me. You know I like that song.
I know you like
I
that
love
song.
Burn
you
my
sing
dread.
It almost every day.
I will. Okay.
That was not...
Burn My Dread. I like that song. That's it. Play more Fez, yeah.
Yeah, Fez, and... Is there something else that came out this week? Maybe.
I played a little bit of Mr. Pandaria, but your computer was really uncomfortable for me.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, I played a monk in the Diablo 3 beta.
That's I'm sure.
I like the monk
a lot. I already
lot.
Talked about playing as a monk, though.
I know, but I didn't realize how cool it was. I don't know if I want to play that or a wizard.
Yeah, alphabetical.
Yes.
All right, I think that's it. Let's get to the releases.
Okay.
It's been a fun little show, I think, actually.
Well, I've enjoyed it.
Remember that time when I just guessed what the God of War Ascension trailer was.
You were completely right.
Those are good times. All right, Prototype 2 is coming out for 360 and PS3. Never played the first one.
I played a little bit. It was one of those games where, like, oh, this is fun for 5 minutes, but I can't see this holding up any longer than that.
I feel
that.
I didn't want to play the first Prototype because I resented it for not being Crackdown 1. Even though it's weird because I had no interest in Crackdown 2 even.
Right.
It's like, they did Crackdown 1. It was the perfect game for its time and place.
Yeah, and, like,
and, like,
that's
you can't
all you
do
ever
it again.
Needed. Plus, they're doing that damn thing now where they take, like, a Johnny Cash song and
right.
do that's a live-action trailer. And
guys, I love those Johnny Cash songs. Those like, yeah, the ones he did when he was dying as much as anybody. But, like, You just can't automatically use that.
I promise that the playing of Prototype 2 will do nothing to elicit the emotions of that trailer.
No, listen, yeah. It worked. It worked when
once for Gears of War.
Which one they do for Gears of War?
The Donnie Darko song.
Oh, that's not Johnny Cash, AJ.
Well, in general?
Yeah, in general. I'm just saying, like, for Johnny Cash specifically, it worked when they did You Can Run On for a Long Time for But Sooner or Later God Will Cut You Down. You know that one. You Can Run On. They did that for True Grit, the movie. That was cool.
Oh, yeah.
And they did, for a little bit for Undertaker and Wrestling, they did Ain't No Grave, Gonna Hold My Body Down. That was cool.
Yeah, but that was for a movie and The Undertaker.
I mean, Prototype.
They elicit those emotions in me.
I like that. I like that the Undertaker, the wrestler, gives you more of an emotional response than a video game does.
He's a legend.
Yeah.
20-0.
UEFA Euro 2012.
UEFA is the correct pronunciation. Excuse me. Pronunciation wrong.
PS3, PC, 360. So this is a different. This is the EA soccer game.
Well,
wait. I thought EA did FIFA.
No, they do FIFA, but then they alternate between UEFA and the World Cup games,
right?
Because these tournaments happen concurrently.
So they do two soccer games a year.
Yeah.
Is that necessary?
They sell. Right. I mean, more to the worldwide market.
Risen 2 Dark Waters for PC. Yeah. Aki Katana Shin for 360.
Yeah, okay.
No idea. It's a weird-looking game for the Wii called El Chavo. With a little kid on it. Oh, look, it has multiplayer mini-games. Based on the Spanish TV show character El Chavo. Wasn't that delightful? Also, Chuck E. Cheese's Arcade Room for DSiWare.
I promise that's nothing like going to a Chuck E. Cheese's arcade when we were kids. Unless it's just an emulator of the Simpsons game and some skee ball.
Yeah, basically that's my Chuck E. Cheese experience. That's some animatronics.
And some Dragon Slayer.
Some bad pizza. All right, that's it. Thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. You can also follow us at twitter.com/explodingbarrel and facebook.com/explodingbarrel. Also find us on the iTunes Music Store. Please be sure to visit our iTunes page and drop us a review. Greatly helps us out, and it's much appreciated. We'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast. Bye. Here we go.
Oh, good God.